The Lies of the Temple, Part 114. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of the Apashuan South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, or the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rottenham version, please contact us at our WhatsApp number, it's the international number +27 0722 367 124. Just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are to participate, you are very, very welcome. Please go to part one, start from the beginning. You have missed quite a bit of information. Very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notification of all the other studies that we are currently busy with. Also, our TikTok messages. Send this link to your friends and family. Make sure you have at least a 1611 King James Bible, pen and a noting pad ready. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. I trust that this study is going to be a blessing unto you in the name above every other name. The original name of Yahushua, as it was known 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. We will continue where we left off yesterday morning, and we are in the final stage, and we're still using the research work of the Temple Mount Institution in Jerusalem. Now I'm continuing. The stage teaches that the nation of Israel is concealed in the plans from the very foundation of the world, and was a factor in the divine plan of creation. As the Talmud explains, the Talmud, did you went and do a bit of homework? What is the Talmud? Yes, it's the oral law that replaced the Torah that became the Tanakh. Have we have it? Do we have it? The Talmud was a spoken law. Israel was in captivity for 70 years. The Ark of the Covenant was hidden. That wasn't found. For that 70 years, they didn't have, Israel was in captivity, didn't have the Torah to read from. So what did they do? The fathers taught the sons by way of oral law. And every time that they would speak the law, the Torah, it was added something here, something there. And at the end of the day, after 70 years, it was a complete different story. It was a complete different word as the Torah. And the younger generation didn't know anything about the Torah. Up till today, these Orthodox Jews, they haven't got a clue about the Torah. Why? Because they're running after the Talmud. Why did Yahushua accuse the Pharisees and Sadducees when he was on earth? He says, you're white grave tombs. From the outside you are nice painted, and but from the inside you are full of dead bones and worms. Why? Because they were practicing the Talmud and not the Torah, which is actually the Tanakh. In the modern Hebrew, it became the Tanakh. It's all the very same thing. So the Talmud, it says here, as the Talmud explains, you see this guy of the Temple Mount Foundation has to refer to the Talmud, because they don't have a Torah. So what are they going to put in the Ark of the Covenant? A Torah. They can't even spell the word Torah. They're going to use the Talmud, the Tanakh. And he says, as the Talmud explains God's anticipation of eventual establishment ever predicted in creation. Everything has happened through the blood of Yahushua. We don't need the Talmud. We don't need the Torah. We don't need a Tanakh. We don't need a modern Hebrew. We need the ancient original Hebrew sacred names of Yahweh, Yahushua, the Ruach HaKodesh, and Yahshua. Not Yeshua, Yahshua. The seven things were completed by the Holy One, blessed be He, before creation. Seven things were contemplated by the Holy One, blessed be He, that is Yahweh, before the creation. The sage wished to tell us that by probing the nature of these seven elements, we will come to the understanding the purpose of creation. Understanding these seven elements, Torah and repentance. This illustrates that the idea of the Torah exists before time and was one of the central objects behind the creation. Before man was created, God knew that the impulse of man's heart is evil from his youth, Genesis 7:21, and that he was destined to sin and stumble. This is an integral part of human nature. According before anything exists, the Torah was prepared to guide him along the path through life. I just want to say, in the time up till where Israel was in captivity for 430 years, let me just go backwards. Before Noah, there was no Torah for 2,000 years. In similar foundation, the Torah counterpart, the concept of repentance. So repentance became the counterpart of the Torah. What did Yahushua came, what did John came and taught, John the Immerser, the baptizer? He says, repent of your sins. For the Lamb of Yahweh is near. Repentance. And now what does the third temple want to do? Do they want people to repent? No way. They want them to grow back into the 613 laws because it is profitable to this organization. It says here, the concepts of the, it says that the Torah's counterpart, the concept of repentance, was also prepared in advance of men, so that one was transgressed will be of his creator as a path to return to him. Repentance. But in the 613 laws, there was not one word of repentance. If there was repentance in the 613 laws of Moses, then Moses wouldn't have died on the mountain seeing the promised land and not entering the promised land. If there was repentance, he could have repented and he would have entered into the promised land. There was no repentance in the 613 laws. This too was forged into the very foundation of the world to provide man with a remedy for sin. It's not for man. Man was living as we know it. What this third temple wants to do is drawing back people back in time. In the time machine, taking them back in time. Living in the old way. Having a Levi and having a high priest doing atonement for your sins. Why, the blood of Yahushua has cleansed you from all that sins. All you need to do is call upon his name. What did the guy on the cross do, the sinner? He called upon the name of Yahushua. And what did he do? He entered into paradise. The Garden of Eden in Gethsemane. The concept of the Garden of Eden in Gethsemane also reflects a key factor in the purpose of creation, reward and punishment. The reward represented by the Garden of Eden for those who fulfill the commandments of God. Where do you see that in life? The punishment for transgression will be Gehamon, which is hell. Why don't they just call it hell? The Holy Temple, the next element in the divine blueprint for creation, is the Holy Temple. At this stage of the factor is the main mentioned provisionally or casually united, actually united. Torah, for the seat of the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of Israel, and the highest body of wisdom. See how they overstep the elected government in Jerusalem, the Torah. They don't have a Torah, they have a Talmud. So see how they actually stumble over their own words. The Torah stroke Talmud from the seat of the Sanhedrin, that's the court of 70, the supreme court of Israel, the highest body of wisdom was in the temple. For the Sanhedrin, the knowledge of Torah was submitted to all Israel, as mentioned in the verses above. For out of Zion shall go forth a Torah, And the word of God from Jerusalem. It is for this reason that the two tablets of the law which contain the original commandments of God as revealed in Sinai were housed in the temple's Holy of Holies, signifying the temple was literally the source of the Torah knowledge. Now today they want to operate under the 10 laws of Moses. That's not the Torah. There's the 5 Pentateuch books, which is the 5 first books in the Bible, which is the Torah. And repentance. For at the same time, the temple is a unique place of repentance. Are you going to immerse him in the temple as well? Are you going to perform adult immersion and not children sprinkling or baptizing? Are you going to immerse adult people to the remission of the sin, as in Acts 2 verse 36 to 41, where 3,000 people was immersed by Apostle Peter and the other apostles on the day of Pentecost? Acts 2 36 verse 41, go read it. When one stumbles in sin, he brings his offering to the temple. So if you offer, what today, it won't be doves and it won't be a little goat here. It will be money, dollars, pound, whatever you want to call it. Money, your offering. When stumbles and sins, bring your offering to the temple and place his hand on the sacrifice while confessing the error of the thoughts and deeds. After it is offered on the altar, the individual leaves, cleansed and purified as a newborn infant. My Bible says, I have to come to the cross. I have to come to Calvary. I have to come. The cross and Calvary doesn't save me. It's him that's been on the cross and who's walked up the hill of Calvary. It's him who ascended into Hades and returned and has ascended into heaven with a promise. In the house of my Father there are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you so. I'm going to return for you to come. That's a parousia. That's a parousia. It says, the purified as a newborn infant. This enables him to continuously world endeavors in the pursuit of righteousness. The sacrifice has no effect unless it is accomplished by thoughts of repentance. But in the whole Old Testament, there was no repentance. This was the problem. In the Old Testament, the high priest will offer once a year. And he will raise his hands and say, your sins are forgiven. People will leave and continue to sin, making sure they have an offering for next year. There was no remorse. There was no repentance. Because they knew there's going to be a next offering. Now they're talking about repentance as if it was an ordinary thing. In the Old Testament, they didn't know nothing about repentance. Because if repentance worked, Moses would have made the promised land. The Holy Temple appears in his divine cosmetic plan precisely because it was represented as the apex of human's longing. The ability for man to eager in the direct relationship with God. The world awaits the day when the temple in Jerusalem will once again be the global center of spiritual values. Where does it say people today hate Israel? But the world is awaiting. The world. Do you know how big the world is? Shame. A couple of people now said it's the world. At one spot on earth, unlike another, it will be revealed to all that God is one and his name is one. Zechariah 40 verse 9. You can use that scripture, but the Muslims doesn't believe this. The Buddhists doesn't believe this. Islam doesn't believe this. Satanists doesn't believe it. All will convince upon Jerusalem. All will convey upon Jerusalem to receive the truth of Torah. They don't have a Torah. They don't even know what's in the Torah. And to return to the way of God in sin's repentance. To atone the holy temple and to merit the higher consciousness which will be revealed at the time. The spirit of divine inspiration. Divine inspiration comes through the Ruach HaKodesh. You don't need a third building, which is the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or whatever you want to call it. You don't need a building to receive the divine inspiration. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. As easy as that. So this lie about the third temple has been painted and architected in a way that it seems like this is heaven. Well, it's going to lead you straight to hell, because there's only redemption in the blood of Yahushua. When we, next Monday, if it's Yahweh's will, we'll start with the book of Hebrew, the study, which is going to take quite a time, but we're going to study every word and every comma and every point in the book of Hebrew. And sometimes we're going to sidetrack to other things and we'll come back, which is in essence of the truth, because we're living in the time of the great lie. And this is what this type of messages, which is sent out into the world, with people that hasn't got the ability to ascend about the truth and the lie, and they are caught up into a web of Satan's lie. Tomorrow morning, if it's Yahweh's will, I'm going to continue on this subject for the last time. Maranatha, Yahushua's coming back again. Hallelujah.